your hometown.
Today we head southwest to a village about 25 miles outside downtown Chicago. Tag along as we explore the local sights and sounds of Romeoville on this edition of Your Hometown. Sponsored by the Illinois Lottery, doing good and supporting Illinois communities.
It's so cool to talk to someone who represents Romeoville so well in their position at Lewis University and who is also a friend of the show. And that is Rick DeMaio. You probably saw Rick on TV in the past as a meteorologist. He is now professor of aviation meteorology at Lewis University. So, Rick, I got to say, last night you must have been glued to what is happening because I know you have access to things that most people in the media do not.
Yeah, I think part of that, Lisa, was I was actually ready to go to bed last night. I'm normally hitting the sack at about 9:15, 9:30, but sure enough, when the breaking news hit, you're up, you're trying to figure out, you know, how big is this? Is this going to be something where they can recover, you know, something? And then you begin to dig, and then you try to get to sleep, and you probably did what I did last night. You know, you toss and you turn.
Yes.
And you're in one of those situations where if you wake up in the middle of the night at 3:30, you want to check your phone. And that's kind of what I didn't do. And then all of a sudden, at 4:50, when I finally got up and then I got in the car and I'm driving down to Lewis for my 7:30 a.m. class, and you're listening to the news conference, and next thing you know, your heart is in your shoe because you know that they went from, you know, basically trying to find people from a rescue mode to a recover mode, and now all of a sudden you're trying to humanize this. So instead of saying, you know, how could this have happened? The first thing you're trying to figure out is why did it happen? And then you almost have to humanize it. I have to walk into a classroom with 35 students for an hour and 45 minutes and talk to them, not only at 7:30, at 9:30, then at noon, and make it so that they want to be able to get in on the conversation, not be overwhelmed, but then also ask questions as well. So you're trying to be, again, not only a meteorologist from an aviation standpoint, as you said, looking for stuff that some people just don't know where to get, but also a teacher, and for some of these kids who are away from home, someone that they can talk to after class.
Right, because it jars our sense of safety, and it concerns all of us. What have you taken away from every piece of information you've gathered? Rick sent me a PDF of what he was sharing with his students today at Lewis University, and I'm like, this is a lot to unpack. So can you summarize it for us, what you think?
And go ahead, Lisa, finish your question.
No, just I'm interested in what you take away from what you've learned so far.
And part of this was also the back and forth between myself and the students, because these are pilots. These are kids that, you know, 7 years from now, they're going to be in that same seat, you know, thinking about could this happen to them. So we kind of went through it and unpacked it a little bit. And one of the things that I don't like hearing people say was, well, the weather was clear. Well, yeah, the weather was clear, but it was also really windy. At the time that that plane landed, the winds were gusting from 16 to 24 miles an hour with peak wind gusts of 33 miles per hour, which was almost enough to blow around the helicopter. And the fact that that helicopter was flying between 150 and 200 feet, because that's basically their ceiling, we don't know whether or not when that helicopter was flying from north to south, they had to adjust their flight level to try to find some smooth air. And especially in a rural or an urban environment where you literally go urban rural, meaning that you go flat to points where you have buildings and trees pushing around the wind. We don't know what the pilots in that helicopter were trying to avoid. So when people come out straight and say, the weather was clear, it was human error. No, you can't do that. You have to be able to look at all the different factors and try to figure out if they were trying to do something for the safety of that helicopter. And then at the last moment, they went, whoa, wait a minute. That's not the one that we thought we were trying to avoid. And then at that point, it's too late.
That has been the thought process, that perhaps they actually had another aircraft in sight.
Correct. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. So the way that the runways, and I know Leland, we were talking about earlier, and I know we only have another minute or two here, was describing, is the flight that was coming in from Wichita, which was 5342, they were landing on runway 33, which is basically pointing to the northwest. The plane that was taking off that we think the helicopter thought was the one they were going to avoid, was taking off on runway 01, which basically points to the north. Ironically enough, Lisa, that plane went from DCA to ORD. That plane landed. The one that you saw in the video landed an hour and a half later at O'Hare.
Wow.
That is ironic enough. Yeah, I know. It's really strange. So the fact that the plane that was coming in on the runway that was pointing towards the northwest, the majority of the time, that plane was actually over the land. So it's quite possible that if you're flying a helicopter between 150 and 200 feet, if you think about it, when you're looking forward, you're not just looking at lights from a plane. You're looking at lights from buildings and national monuments. So all the lights that those pilots in the helicopter were trying to see probably was not the one that they were looking for. And then all of a sudden, when that plane made that quick left turn to turn to the north and west, all of a sudden at that point, it was too late. So there was a bunch of different factors involved. But just coming out and saying that the weather was clear, that's not going to cut it in this situation. There was actually a SIGMET. A SIGMET is a significant meteorological condition issued by the Aviation Weather in Kansas City from 7:30 to 11:30 last night, to the possibility of occasional severe turbulence from flight level 10,000 feet down to the surface. And there were three reports of moderate turbulence within 20 miles of that airport in the last hour. So most likely there was a lot of turbulence on approach, maybe not for the airplane, but definitely for a helicopter. So think about it. Put this in perspective. You're driving a small car behind a tractor-trailer truck on 294. You're going 60 miles an hour trying to pass that truck going 70. Do you feel your car spin around a little bit or move around a little bit? Not spin around, but move around a little bit? Of course you do. And we think that, or at least I think from a meteorological standpoint, that helicopter probably had a lot of crosswind coming in from the north and west that forced them to maybe go to just a little bit of a higher altitude to get away from some of that wind. And unfortunately, the consequences was a mid-air collision.
Thank you so much for joining us, Rick. You're so informative, and you help us understand from your viewpoint, from a professor of aviation meteorology. And I'm just thankful. And you represent Romeoville so well. So we appreciate your time on the show today.
Anytime, Lisa. Take care.